Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elder Advocate Radio, the show that strives to be an ongoing support to elders and their families as they navigate the senior healthcare continuum. Elder Care Coordinator Anthony Fisher, Elder Law Attorney Brandon Thompson, and their special guests are here to provide the latest information about elder law and aging in place. And now, here is your host, Anthony Fisher.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Elder Advocate Radio. I'm your humble host, Tony Fisher. I'm an elder care coordinator and co-founder of Elder Advocacy Group Incorporated. That company, which I founded with my wife, who's also an elder care coordinator, works with seniors to help them navigate the senior healthcare system. And we bring you Elder Advocate Radio, the show that, as the intro said before, strives to be an ongoing resource for our folks who listen and who are planning care and caregiving for folks at home. We like to keep it short and sweet, get right to the point on that show. And so we know as caregivers that you are busy, so we don't want to waste your time with any extra talk. We get right to the point and right down to what the show is. First of all, before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about how you can connect with the show in the future and stay in contact with us in between shows as well. Facebook, Elder Advocacy Group Incorporated, Elder Advocacy Group, Inc. on Facebook. Pretty easy to find. Just start typing Elder and it pops right up in your search there. And you can like that page. You can sign up for our newsletter there. You can leave questions for us and also comments about any of our podcasts. And we also have lots of great content on that website or Facebook page as well, including helpful videos that can help give you caregivers tips on how to better care for your loved ones. Also content from our content partners. One of them also co-hosts of the show, Brandon Thompson. We have a website as well, elderadvocacygroup.info. Again, a lot of great information on there. We keep that regularly updated with a lot of helpful hints and tips and just the latest on life care planning and elder care coordination. Also, you can also sign up for our newsletter there, which comes out to you once a week, and it has a recap of all the content that you saw on the website, plus a couple additional ditties for you for our weekly subscribers. So I'd like to talk about today's topic. Today's topic is life care planning. It's an innovative approach that's kind of spreading from the South, and it's really a great approach. It's something that helps folks plan for all the kind of unintended events that happen in their life. And to talk a little bit more about life care planning, first I'm going to bring in Brandon Thompson, who's an elder law attorney with the elder care firm. And as Brandon will start to explain, the life care planning concept kind of combines the legal and the logistics of elder care, which is what makes it so unique. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony.
As I kind of covered a little bit here, life care planning is a relatively new concept to some. Could you do a real quick explain the origins of life care planning and how you became interested in it in the first place as an elder law attorney?
Sure. Well, the nuts and bolts of life care planning is essentially this. Estate planning for lawyers traditionally has to do with what happens to your stuff, right, your assets when you die. So traditionally lawyers would put together wills, trusts, things of that nature, and we figure out who gets your stuff when you bite the dust, essentially. But what life care planning is, because of these new challenges that are in our country and around the world, frankly, that are created by us living way longer and disability, life care planning is essentially where we're planning for if you live. Right. And since people are living so much longer now we need to figure out, well, how do we pay for disability? How do we pay for care if we run into that? How do we not go bankrupt or broke from all the hard work that we've saved of our money, and now all of a sudden we get sick and we live a lot longer. So essentially life care planning, the origins came from a need. Right, as some elder law attorneys, a group of them, and an elder law attorney is essentially an attorney that focuses their entire practice on issues that face our seniors, our elder citizens. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we're running into, as a lot of attorneys were running into that as elder law attorneys, was questions that we didn't know answers to. Questions about, well, what's a good assisted living? What's the best nursing home? Medical diagnosis questions, right? We're like, wait a second, this doesn't have anything to do with trust or wills. And so essentially how I got into it, how I found out about it, was through our founding attorney at our firm, who is a certified elder law attorney, Chris Berry. He turned me on to this idea of bringing an interdisciplinary team together of professionals, healthcare professionals, maybe even financial advisors, a team effort to make sure that we take in a holistic approach of our clients, not just the legal stuff. Let's just who care who gets what after the person dies, but you know, looking at the whole picture. And so that's where life care planning really comes in. It's bringing a team excellent. Together for that client.
Yeah, excellent. It sounds like you've, it sounds like a lot, a much different approach than, you know, your typical kind of estate plan, you know, just deals, like you said, with stuff, and it's kind of like a one-time transaction, you know, the lawyer writes the plan, and then, you know, you don't really see the person anymore. But it sounds like you guys are trying to really build a long-term relationships with your clients. Am I getting that right?
Yes, and we're truly, and I cannot say this enough, but at the elder care firm, we are truly elder-centered. And so if we're going to, mm-hmm. what I mean by that is we're really focusing on what present and future care needs that could happen, that, you know, is that we might be there for our clients, using the resources for themselves, and not just worrying about who gets it after they pass. So basically what we're doing with a plan is, of course, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We're not getting rid of the traditional estate planning part. But, you know, basically what we're doing with a life care plan is we're, you know, basically defining, organizing, prioritizing, mobilizing every aspect of an elder's care, right? So in addition to doing that traditional asset-focused elder law service that we still provide, you know, to get elders to get them qualified for things like public benefits or preserving family wealth through a trust to the greatest extent possible, stuff like that, powers of attorney. A part of a life care plan will also typically include, though, care coordination and other forms of family support, because the families were looking to us for support in those areas, and we didn't know them because we're lawyers by trade. So we needed to bring on care coordinators or elder care coordinators, people that are experts, someone like yourself, who knows the you could spend your whole life trying to learn the care coordination situation in this country, and I don't have enough time to do it. I know it'll do a little bit to be dangerous as an elder law lawyer or attorney, but we really felt that using an interdisciplinary team, so people from different areas of the professions out there, really benefits our client rather than just holding the ball and doing it all ourselves. So life care planning is truly, we're planning for your life, not for your death only.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, as you were talking, I did look up the average life expectancy for people in the United States. You know, it's on an average, if you average both men and women together, it's, you know, 78 years. So, I mean, and it has gone up significantly pretty much every single year. And although we are only ranked 26th in the world for that, that's still pretty significant. So you're right, people are living to be much older, and, you know, a lot of those, you know, the traditional thoughts behind, okay, passing your stuff down to somebody else after you die, really that needs to shift to how you're going to pay for your long-term care services as you age.
Sure.
And where you want to have those long-term care services. And, you know, as an elder care coordinator, you know I'm all about that. And we'll talk, we'll cover a lot of elder care coordination here in the second half. But the other thing I think people really need to understand about the life care plan, Brandon, is the how it really kind of gives teeth and legal support to any kind of health care plan you have through an advance directives and a power of attorney. Can you kind of explain to our listeners how those aspects, and they're part of the life care plan, and how those aspects are really kind of vital to how the life care plan works from an enforcement perspective?
Sure. Well, a life care plan, essentially, like I was saying, there's still the traditional part of the estate planning part. So typically, right, with the powers of attorney, we want to have those in place before a disaster happens, because when we're doing life care planning, although a lot of times we're creating trust, or we are creating other legal documents that we need authority to do so. So if mom or dad is in the nursing home and they are, do not have capacity, and then we don't have good powers of attorney in place for medical care, for making financial decisions, then we're not able to do what we need to do to preserve some of those assets. And then the only way that we could still do that would be go through the court and get a guardianship or a conservatorship. So we always say that everybody is part of a life care plan, or anybody, frankly, over 18 years old needs to have a solid, durable power of attorney for finances and a medical power of attorney or an advance directive. And just quickly, what it is it's you're appointing somebody when you're lucid to make financial and medical decisions to step in for you. And you want to make sure you get a good one done. At the life care planning firm, our durable power of attorney is 25 pages. It's not because we get paid by the word or like killing trees. It's just that we know from experience that you need to have specific instructions in those powers of attorney that, frankly, some just don't have. So that's right, part of our life care plan. But essentially, a life care plan has three parts. So because, like I said, our goal is to promote and maintain the health, safety, and well-being, and truly the quality of life for the elder. So, you know, mm-hmm, first we want to make sure that elder gets appropriate care. So that's what we call the elder care continuum. That's where we work with someone like you, an elder care coordinator, where we try to find where that elder or that senior is at on the continuum. Are they at home? Are they in assisted living? Can they still live at home? Do they need to be in 24-hour nursing care? Right. This is a huge thing that we need to figure out for our client before we decide what kind of legal, what kind of legal devices we need to use to put into place. We need to know first, sure, where the elder is going to be staying. And then the second part, of course, is we're going to locate some public and private sources to help pay for those long-term care if the person is using long-term care services. Because we have to resolve that issue that's created by the high cost of care nowadays. You can't really get around how much long-term care costs, unfortunately, nowadays. And then the third part of it, this is what our clients come back to us time and time again. And Tony, you can get into this because you're very experienced with the life care planning. But, you know, the third part is we really offer a peace of mind that results when we're actually helping people make right choices and make sure that loved ones are safe and getting the right care and preserving family resources, right? So we're doing everything for that. We're making sure the resources are saved for the elder. They can use them on their care if they need it from a Medicaid spend down or a VA spend down. And then also, typically a lot of our clients are son or daughter who might be working 40, 50 hours a week, have kids of their own. They can sleep at night knowing that they have an advocate, not only an attorney, but a care coordinator that's making sure that wherever mom and dad is having to stay, whether it's at home, assisted living, nursing home, that they're in the right place and they're safe.
Yeah, then that care coordination part is, I'm a proponent of that. But when I sit down and talk with folks too, many clients, even folks that I, because I work with many clients just out in the community as well, and they all like come up to me and say, well, you know, my mom and dad have a living will, or, we printed out one of those like advocate forms from the computer and we put that together. So, that'll work at the hospital. And what I always try to tell people is that really, it's great. Elder care coordination and having a plan is great, but you also need the legal part to back it up to, you know, make sure that the people who are making the decisions for you have the authority to make those decisions legally, so the hospital can't, or and anybody else, you know, can't start directing healthcare for you and not following your wishes. The other thing too is that, you know, the other thing I like to always talk to people about as well is, you know, the advance directive, really sitting down and having that conversation. And a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, if you wrote down your healthcare wishes on a piece of paper, a lot of times the hospitals won't honor that. They'll make you fill out another advance directive anyway. So that's a part of some estate planning, but I think a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, it's such a vital part of the overall plan. And then as far as the life care plan goes, it's really key to making sure that those things are enforced.
Sorry. Yeah. I can't emphasize enough how important disability documents are. That's what we call them. If you ever become disabled, you get a knock on the head or life throws you a curveball, you need somebody that's there making decisions. Not only making decisions, but what decisions do you want them to make for you? And also, do they have the authority to make those decisions? If you're not going to have any disability documents, sure, you can put off a one or two pager offline or get one from the hospital right before surgery or something. But frankly, as elder law attorneys, we see it all too often. Medical powers of attorney, or say a durable power of attorney for finances, you need to create a trust, you need to move bank accounts, you need to do something. And Bank of America is just not, they're not going to take that power of attorney if it's not followed by the letter of the law and doesn't have that specific action that you want in there to be done. And sometimes even if it does, they still refuse it. And then that's when you have to pull out your attorney advocate sword and call up the bank and say, look, you know, I drafted this thing. You need to enforce it. Call your legal department. So it's just so vital nowadays. You don't know when long-term care could happen, and you want to have those good powers of attorney in place that are drafted by an attorney that knows what they're doing in this area of law and isn't just putting together one of those one or two page blank checks, what we call them, just basically says power of attorney, right?
Right.
We want to actually put those actual instructions in there. And you mentioned end of life, and after the Affordable Care Act, hospitals are really enforcing the default now. In Michigan, the default is they're going to keep you alive artificially. And frankly, that most of our clients don't want to be kept alive artificially at the end of their life situation. They want to be able to be let go. So we want to make sure we have that in place, bar none. So that's the one. But the second main part of that is, what if you're not dying? What if you're just alive and you have dementia or you have Alzheimer's or you're in a coma, but you could come out of it? You need to have somebody there making healthcare decisions for you, what medicines you're going to be taking, what surgeries you're going to get, right? So if you don't put those things in place, the default is to have the doctor make the decision for you, or you have to go through the courthouse. So Terry Schiavo is the worst example of that, of course, the woman in Florida who stayed alive for 8.5 years. But the only people that won in that situation were the attorneys, because it battled for 8.5 years, which is awful. And she was in her 30s. So people a lot of times think of, you know, powers of attorney for elderly, but, you know, everybody needs to have a solid power of attorney. But I can't emphasize enough that we can't do what we need to do legally for our clients to do some planning if there's an elder care coordination situation, if they don't have those good powers of attorney in place.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about Terry Schiavo, we start bridging into the elder care coordination aspect of things. And, you know, the elder care coordinator, can advocate for people right at bedside and, you know, help in that stressful situation, help the family communicate with the hospital, you know, what that client and the patient's needs and wants and wishes are. And without those legal teeth behind having everything sorted out and the power of attorney and advance directive, it becomes difficult for the family. And, you know, just let me take a moment, Brandon, to thank some of our sponsors here. One is Dementia Raw. You know, Dementia Raw is a seminar series presented by Silver Dawn. It's a conference for caregivers and professionals who will find revolutions in dementia, aging innovations, and wholehearted dialogue. If you'd like to have dates and information on Dementia Raw, please visit DementiaRaw.com. That's DementiaRaw.com. And also, Brandon, as I introduced Brandon before, I mentioned he's from the elder care firm. And the elder care firm has a unique way of serving clients where they just don't prepare a set of documents and send them on, send you on your way. Instead, the clients retain them for a period of time. You build a relationship with those clients. And we want we want to be your family's lawyers for life. To further that holistic relationship-based focus, we have a unique programs to help facilitate that goal. It's the Client Care Program and the Life Care Program. For more information on those things, please make sure you visit www.theeldercarefirm.com, and you can read more information about the Elder Care Firm and their fine attorneys, one of them being my co-host and partner in crime, Brandon Thompson. And Brandon, I'm going to bring you back into the show after we've thanked our sponsors there. And I want to, finish off our discussion about life care planning and its innovative approach to elder care by talking about elder care coordination. And I'm going to let you ask me some questions on that. First of all, I'd like to say, as an elder care coordinator, it's with 25 years, more than 25 years experience in the senior healthcare industry. I've worked in nursing homes. I've worked as a director of operation for home care companies. I've worked in hospices. I understand every level of the healthcare continuum, which is every type of care that you get, a senior might get, as they travel through the aging process. As an elder care coordinator, I'm really uniquely positioned to help folks understand and navigate that system and to get the best quality care. Brandon, did you have any, I'm going to let you flip the script on me a little bit and ask me a few questions about elder care coordination so people just to hear me.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, sure. I could always ask you some questions, flip the tables a little bit. Like I say all the time to clients, I try to push life care because I know how important it is and how important it is. Just said important twice, but how vital it is for our clients. But I'm not as good as explaining it as you, because this is your expertise as an elder care coordinator. So why don't you explain in your own words why it's important for clients to use elder care coordination?
Yeah, I mean, I'll use an example of a client I met with today, which is really kind of similar to my grandmother's situation too. Most elderly folks are living at home, and they are they're doing well at home. They have a few things that they might need help with. Maybe they don't bathe as well as they used to because they're afraid to get in and out of the shower. Maybe they don't eat as well as they used to because they can't stand and prepare meals. Maybe they have some difficulty with mobility around the house, so they're using furniture and the walls to try to stay upright. And they have no idea that there's a lot of resources and help that can help them, A, get some of their strength back, B, someone that can teach them some strategies to still live independently and effectively with dignity and just have some strategies to be able to cope with the aging process. We don't get any younger. That's the whole point. And if you ignore the barriers that aging presents, and just kind of, the elders just kind of feel like they don't want to be a burden and they don't want to, sometimes they're afraid or embarrassed to ask people for help. And that's where an elder care coordinator can really come in, Brandon, because I can sit down and talk with that elder, with that family member. A lot of times I love to have them both in the same room because then I can be the objective third party in the situation and really kind of very politely, respectfully, rationally point out what some deficits might have and then what the unintended consequences of ignoring those deficits can be. Using my grandmother, for example, she lived in a two-story condo and she was having trouble with walking up the stairs so much so that she started crawling up the stairs. Now, of course, no one wants to crawl up the stairs or feel like they have to crawl up the stairs. Why? I mean, there's a dignity issue there. But there's also a safety issue there to where, when it comes to the point where she's having difficulty even crawling, she falls down the stairs, what happens then. So, what I do is I go and I help folks plan a different strategy. Maybe we move the bedroom down to the first floor. Maybe we can adapt a bathroom on the first floor to make it easier for folks to bathe themselves. All sorts of things. And I kind of equate it to, Brandon, is kind of like dangling on the edge of a cliff. And really kind of any wind can blow you off, and that wind being a fall, a healthcare crisis, something of that nature.
Okay. Well, thanks for that good explanation. So as I explained earlier, the life care plan includes the legal part. So we do the legal stuff for them. We're putting these legal plans in place. So why do you think it's important to have the care coordination in that life care plan?
Well, I mean, it can help folks stay at home instead of having to, unintended and accidentally bounce out to the nursing home. And I say accidentally because, a lot of folks don't realize that when someone goes to the hospital and you're elderly, and the first indication for that social worker is, okay, they're of age, I'm going to send them to the nursing home. And right. They automatically want to send folks that way for rehab or what have you. When a lot of times, if folks have a plan to be able to return home, they can do that. Elder care coordination
right.
puts that plan in place to where people have control over their health care, their own health care, in the privacy and comforts of their own home.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into, because we're really, a lot of people think out there, and this is all a big question, or I guess statement that gets thrown at me a lot, is there's a big jump from going home. Now, we don't know what's going on at home. Like you said, you might be crawling up the stairs, and that's awful, but there's a big jump a lot of times from going from independent living on the elder care continuum to a 24-hour hospital nursing home, right? So there's a
mm-hmm.
lot of options in between. So I know you have a lot of great examples. Can you just give a couple about how you've helped actual elders and clients stay out of a 24-hour hospital nursing home setting?
Yeah. There was a couple I worked with in which they, the one gentleman was having trouble where he was bouncing in and out of the nursing home. After we got that stabilized, we developed a plan for him to return home with his wife so they could stay at home. Then they realized that they might want to go to an assisted living where they have a few more amenities and some social options. So we set them up in an assisted living, and they were living fine with each other in the assisted living, and they were saved the cost of the $8,000 to $10,000 a month cost of a nursing home. Now, this is the beauty of the life care plan and the elder care coordination, because plans change. People have medical issues. People have situations to where a medical issue comes up that's out of your control, and what are you going to do? How are you going to adapt your plan to make sure folks can remain independent? So we had a situation to where, the husband had to eventually had to go to a nursing home because of his dementia, but we were able to work with you and with the wife to be able to keep her at home, and she was able to live on her own independently in an assisted living facility and still remain in a home environment without having all of her resources gobbled up by the nursing home. And then I continue to work with her to evaluate her and to make sure that, she doesn't have any health issues popping up. And if she does, how we can tackle those healthcare issues to make sure that she can remain at home for as long as possible.
Great. Yeah. Cause I can't stress enough how important it is to have the care coordination, because most people in that situation don't have a lot of time. They're caring for mom or dad, and they're being told by the social worker at the hospital where mom or dad has to go. And a lot of times they don't know what the answer is. So it's always great to have that advocate there that actually knows the long-term care maze, someone like yourself that can guide them through some other options besides just mom's going to the nursing home, right? So one or two more questions. Do we have time for it?
No, actually we don't, Brandon. I like to keep my promise to our viewers here. We're getting running out of time. So thanks for
All right.
being on. We'll we'll pick up the Elder Care Coordination on maybe another show, maybe the next one. Until then,
right.
Folks, thank you for listening to Elder Advocate Radio, and age well and be well.